Thank you for tuning in to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It is clearance time at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Save up to $13,000 on remaining 2017 Cadillacs, and for a limited time only, get 0% for 72 months on the powerful Cadillac Escalade. Plus, you get free car washes for life at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. That's EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Escalade courtesy vehicle, mileage 3816, approved credit, 13.88 per thousand financed, example down 10%. Discount off MSRP plus tax tag, title, and dealer fee, zero security. Offer expires at the end of the month. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, we're holding our Drive for Hope event and supporting women in their brave fight by donating a portion of each sale to My Hope Chest. So when you lease a 2017 ATS sedan for $329 a month, sign and drive, you are supporting a great cause. Visit Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa or go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All the details are at the dealership, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And again, the offer expires at the end of the month. Ed Morse does amazing things supporting My Hope Chest. You can learn more about them and their great work they do in the community at MyHopeChest.org. All right, Coach, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. What can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine, and he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work, and he watches practice. He takes pride in getting the story correct, and he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Happy Thursday here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We are live at One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com. And next to me, to my right, Ira, that's where I like you, where I can give you my quick my quick jab to the face, Mr. Ira Kaufman. How are you today, Sage?
Steven, we're 2 days away from the Bucks getting on the Big Bird and going upstate New York for their third road trip of the year. Mr. DeKemper, I would like to point out to you that the first two road trips have been totally forgettable, and that's putting it mildly. Instead of saying totally forgettable, how about using humiliating, embarrassing, awful, horrid, putrid? How can you roll that out twice on the road in the first half? You are not competitive. Once, and we've seen it in this league, because Denver came out against the Giants at home. That was a huge upset. They were an 11-point favorite. Once, understood, you weren't ready to play. You had a bad day. Twice in two road games? What's going on here, DeKemper? Have you forgotten how to get on a plane and check into a hotel without keeping your focus? What is going on with this focus? I don't understand. I don't. Enlighten me, sir.
I don't want to say anything because you're on a roll.
I am on a little bit.
You're
of
still
a roll.
Flummoxed. You're like, this is Sunday night, Ira, and you finished.
You don't learn
writing
your lesson from Minneapolis? That wasn't enough of an embarrassment where all of a sudden your running game goes out the window. You're so far behind. And here we go again. I'm going to say it again. Lee DeKemper could have gained 65 yards rushing if he would have got 15 carries Sunday in Arizona. And I'm looking at you right now, DeKemper, and that's a hell of a statement. Run fits? How about run unfits? That was awful. And how about making some adjustments during a game instead of waiting to halftime? I'm still on a roll, DeKemper. You may speak, sir. You may continue.
This is better than when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. Keep it up.
I sound like the Mad Dog, right? One of his rants.
All right, Ira. But Ira. Interesting. I didn't think you were going to come in.
I'm not over it yet, Steve.
And by the way, I had an Animal House reference. I fully know the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor.
And I think I'm taking it personal, Steve. I do admit it because I did say they're going on a 5-game winning streak, and then they roll that garbage out. So I think it's personal. I got to learn from the Godfather. Business. Not personal.
The beets are out of the salad. The beets are out of the salad. All right, look, Ira, look. We get your rage. And I have to say, we don't have big production meetings. They're only an hour before this podcast to prepare for this gym.
Sometime during this podcast, I'll look ahead to the Buffalo Bills. But my mind's still in Glendale.
Well, Ira, I got to admit, what you're talking about is not forgettable in any way, shape, or form. It's fresh in my memory, vivid. Vivid is the word. Vivid in the sense that I almost hate, I got to be honest, I hate to say this. You almost wonder if Mike Smith's charges have tuned him out. You almost got to wonder. Mike Smith's done a hell of a job with the linebackers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But other than that, holy cow. I mean, you're talking about the Broncos losing the Giants. They didn't get boat raced in the first half like the Bucs did. I mean, I referenced a game, you know, many people remember, talk about horrid, when the Steelers carb stomped the Bucs and Raheem at the Den of Depression, just hammered their rear ends. And the Bucs had guys playing on defense, the immortals, I called them, Styles White, E.J. Biggers, Quincy Black. Mind you, this Bucs team has Pro Bowlers on every level of the defense. They have two guys on defense with Super Bowl rings. They have a third who played in the Super Bowl. And it was like watching a Pasco County High School 7-on-7 summer league. They had no chance of stopping them.
And Steve, I want to mention this. When Mike Smith hit the podium this week, and everybody was loaded for bear, and Mike Smith's got to get up there on a Wednesday and take all the questions.
And he knew it was coming.
Maybe I'm off base here, but the first six or seven questions are about Vernon Hargraves, who's playing terribly, and I'm not offering any alibis for Vernon Hargraves. Vernon Hargraves was not the story of Sunday's game. The story of Sunday's game was Adrian Peterson running wild behind huge holes, and then Carson Palmer could do whatever he wants because the Bucs got to respect the run game. That's the story of the game. You want to say Hargraves didn't tackle? Well, he's one guy.
Thank you.
But the front seven was manhandled. Absolutely manhandled in the run game, which they had done fairly well in the first four games. That was the shocker. That was the shocker.
Against an offensive line that was
now,
largely
you
considered.
You said Peterson was spectacular. I still say you're off your noggin over there.
I smell a wager.
But the holes were enormously. I just can't get over it. You know, Smith saying, well, one guy's out of his gap. He's trying to do. Why are they trying to do too much? It's game five. It's working. Stop trying to do too much. And make some adjustments after the first series, maybe after the second series. On the third series, they go 95 yards. Steve, 95 yards they went. I just cannot believe how bad this run defense was Sunday. They were not ready to play.
Well, here's one for you, Ira.
Go ahead.
Brian Baldinger, who I'm sure you know, NFL Network, used to be an offensive lineman. I think he played mostly with the Colts, the Jeff George Colts, Eric Dickerson Colts. Baldinger does an interesting thing on Twitter where he breaks down film, and this is technically illegal. I'm surprised he hasn't had a Twitter account suspended yet. He, with his phone, he videotapes a play off of the All-22 video on NFL.com, and then he breaks that play down and puts it up on video. And he was doing with the Bucs Cardinals game. And there was one run in particular Adrian Peterson had. I'll use your analogy. I could have walked through that hole. Not run, walked through that hole. Adrian Peterson didn't take it because he thought someone was plugging the gap, and he went outside. It was an 8-yard gain. It was a so-so run. Not a bad run. Decent run. But after the play, and mind you, this is the first quarter, after the play, both defensive ends, both Ayers, both Will Golston tapping out. And Baldinger stopped this close. And when I say this close, I'm holding up my thumb and index finger about a quarter inch apart. Came this close from saying the Bucs were quitting.
The Bucs, Steve, putting a lot on Quan Alexander's shoulders. We assume he's going to play. Lee, it's not 100% certain that he's going to play, but we think he's going to play.
When I see him on the field, I'll believe it.
Steve, you know, Mike Smith every week tries to tell us it's 11 men, it's not one guy. Well, I want to remind Mike Smith, it's 11 guys. And Quan Alexander's not going to make up for all your mistakes as good as he is. Now, they've only won one game, I believe, without Quan Alexander in the lineup. That was the Giants game. They've only won once.
Wow.
When Quan, you know, since Quan Alexander's become a Buck, 0-4 at the end of that season.
Exactly,
and then you
head
up this season.
Yeah, three losses this year, so it's 1-7.
You know, look, he's going to help. Beckwith, I think, will be more comfortable, you know, on the strong side. It's a good set of linebackers. There's no question about it.
Mike's doing a good job with the linebackers. No question about that.
But,
and that's what he did with the Baltimore Ravens.
Steve, when your top three or four tacklers on the stat sheet, T.J. Ward,
Brent Grimes,
Chris Conte, and Vernon Hargraves, that's a problem. You ever seen a Buck front seven manhandled like that?
Yeah, of course I have. I'm a Bucks fan. Come on, Ira.
I got a quick one for you, Ira. Real, you know, we're talking about Mike Smith. Did you ever see him that agitated? I mean, you know, Mike's a guy, great guy, and impressed. He knew what was coming.
He used the word freaking about seven
times.
Three
or four times, yeah. But I could tell he was starting to get agitated. I've never seen him like that before. He's frustrated. And since we're talking about Hargraves, I asked him, you know, when he said, you know, after about the fifth question, he said, now, guys, I said, in a one-man team, enough with the Hargraves questions. Then I followed up. I said, Mike, I'm sorry. I know it's not a one-man team. I get it. I understand what you're saying, but I have a Hargraves question. And I asked him, basically said, how much rope are you going to give this guy? If you hope to make the playoffs, if you hope to make a playoff run, which looks impossible right now. I hate to say it, but that's how bad Sunday's game looked. I asked him, I said, if you're going to make a playoff run, how much rope can you give this guy? Now, again, dubious source, the PFF tribe, they claim every time he's been targeted the past 2 weeks has been a completion. Every time. This folding chair in front of us could play as good
as
defense.
That might be 20 for 20. I mean, it might be.
If that's accurate. Yeah, notice he didn't dispute that. I didn't say Pro Football Focus, yeah, but I said self-professed intellectuals.
And Steve, you were there. Steve, you were there today for Gerald McCoy. After about two or three questions, what did McCoy say to the group?
I don't want to talk about last week. Yeah, and I understand that, but let me say this, Sarah. I'm impressed and surprised that you're still so passionate about Sunday's game. It lets me know that you're not just looking at that as a loss, that you really do see it as some sort of defining statement on the season, not just another loss. And let me throw two things at you. One, I'm just not personally so outraged by the loss. I mean, it was outrageous, but I'm not in the level of deep concern, mostly because it wasn't at home. A lot of these, I mean, you get slammed like that at home, like the Bucks had. That's a different animal. It happens on the road. I just can't freak out as much. And they didn't roll over. I understand that 31-0, the game's over. But they didn't roll over after that. And they actually did some historic stuff in the second half for teams in that.
With a backup quarterback.
For teams in the same position, right? Teams have been in that position before. The Bucks rattling off 33 points in the second half was historic. I mean, nobody's talking about, wow, what a great garbage time.
Nor should they be.
Nor should they be. But it still says something about the team. We can't just completely ignore it. But let me throw this back at you, because I know a lot of fans are ready to run Mike Smith out of town. They're talking about his Atlanta defenses, which he wasn't even the coordinator. Everybody forgets Mike Nolan was there, hired to run the defense. Everybody's like, Mike Smith's defenses. But, you know, he was the CEO head coach in Atlanta. And I want you to talk about that, because you went to visit him in Atlanta many times. It's where you forged your friendship. But let me run a stat by you, Ira. Top five NFL defenses by points allowed per game. 2003 to 2007. That was still during the Bucks' run of 10-year reign of Monty Kiffin and greatness. They had some number one defenses in there. 2003 to 2007, the Bucks only allowed 18.3 points a game. Phenomenal.
This is a five-year span?
2003 to 2007, 5 years. 18.3 a game.
That's outstanding.
Now, who was better than that? Mike Smith's Jaguars, 18.2 points per game. And can you name anybody on that Jaguars defense? Any Hall of Famers?
Two skyscraper defensive tackles, yeah, Henderson and Stroud, but that was about it.
Any perennial superstars? I mean,
He schemed. He schemed.
This is not a guy who doesn't know how to call a defense and doesn't have an amazing track record. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that.
Steve, what you seem to be suggesting, and far be it from me, Mr. DeKemper, to put vile words in the mouth of Steve Isbitz. But, Steve, the inescapable conclusion is they don't have enough talent on the defensive side. If Mike Smith knows what he's doing. And, by the way, to support your argument, Mike Smith made a lot of adjustments at the midpoint of last season, and they went 6-2,
yes,
sparked by a defensive renaissance.
Yes.
Just ask Russell Wilson, Alex Smith, and Drew Brees. They got buried in three of those games. But Steve, what is going on with this Buck defense in terms of cushion? 70% completions. Well, what are we, back in the Lovie Smith days? We thought we were beyond that. We thought we were over that.
And that, now, Steve, is why fans are going bananas. Everybody thought this was behind them.
But to Steve's point, Lee, there is no heat off the edge. No heat off the edge. That is a personnel problem. There's nothing. That is a personnel problem.
Both.
I don't think any of us can argue that. That is
no
a personnel problem.
Yeah.
Have the horses.
When one of the guys they were banking on to get heat, they cut, and he was out there for a week and a half and just got picked up by the Lions.
So, you know.
And they dig up a 53-year-old former first baseman all-star from your San Francisco Giants, Will Clark.
And, Lee, you combine bad run fits last week with no pressure on Palmer. And Palmer can be effective if he's unhurried.
There you go.
Unhurried. Mm-hmm. If he's under duress, he's going to make a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm, Carson Palmer. That's his history. And they didn't put him under any duress. And he's sitting back there with the play action that they now have to respect because they can't stop the run. It was a perfect storm. Absolutely for that Buck defense. I'm not closing the book on Mike Smith. I'm not. And I think they can bounce back. Now, I'll say this, Lee. I'm going on record. This is the last prediction I make because last week should have run me out of the prediction.
But business. We won't mention it.
Buffalo does not have a good offense. No. They don't. They're 31st. Miami's 32nd. They're 31st. Total yards. They don't score a lot of points. How do they win? They win the turnover battle. They're plus eight.
If Buffalo scores 28 points, Chris Russo is going to use this audio on you.
I understand. You know, Tyrod Taylor might make a couple of plays with his feet. They got LeSean McCoy.
Who you like.
Yeah, who I got in my fantasy league, who's having a subpar season.
Now, will you admit on record?
Subpar.
Will you admit to the public what you did last week?
Oh, what did I do? I lost in fantasy.
And how did that happen?
How did that happen? I lost 91-87. I got nothing to apologize for.
What defense did you pick?
The pewter defense. Not the putrid defense, the pewter defense.
The Bucks.
Now, they scored a defensive touchdown, so I was jumping up and down. I figured I'd get all these fantasy points. Then I found out, well, if you give up 38 points, you get a demerit, and I took a beat.
So how did Dante react when you're jumping up and down?
Well, I went in to take a pee, and my wife was screaming at the TV, Bucks, Bucks, Bucks. I come running out. I go, honey, it's 31-6. What are you excited about? Yeah, you know, so.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I ran out and.
No, I went back in to finish my pee, and then that was it.
One for you, Ira. You know, we were talking about what's going on with the Bucks, and this is what I'm going to say is very damning, but I have to be honest. This has crossed my mind. Have the coaches lost this team? Now Steve will say, well, the offense, what happened there? Okay, maybe, you know, some personal pride came involved. Maybe Cutter started putting some feet between a couple of butt cheeks. I don't know. But how many times, and I'm as guilty as anyone by ignoring this. I knew it was out there, but I ignored it. Like, it's preseason. It's just training camp. How many times after practice in August did Cutter say, he grumbled, we didn't have a good practice.
Fair point. I don't know if I've heard Cutter this year say that was a good practice. I don't know if I've heard it.
Which leads me to believe possibly, I'm not saying everybody, but a disconnection is growing here.
I don't know. I cut him some slack, Steve. I tend to cut him some slack because of the 6-2 finish last year. But, boy, you know, digging an early hole is getting old, Steve.
Yeah, it's not just digging, not to accept
And if they're 2-4, they got to go 8-2 to probably make the playoffs, and that's probably not going to happen.
Well, that's why this game Sunday was so alarming in so many respects. You know, we all remember how Steve was out in Arizona last year, and DeMar Dotson said, you know, they thought they had this game won. You would think they would have this damn game circled on their schedule back in April when the schedule released. So we got these guys this time. And they go out there, and what did T.J. Ward say, Steve? That, you know, they thought it was a vacation. Some of the young guys took it as a mini vacation. I mean, there's so many angles to this loss that are just damning.
We've gone through half a podcast. You haven't mentioned Jameis Winston yet.
Yeah. I'm just listening to you guys. I appreciate all the passion, and I'm sure the listeners do as well. I'm also passionate, Ira. As you can see, I have the gear on today. I'm matching you. I got my Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon shirt.
And I'm taping Tailgate Sunday with my shirt on.
There you go. Fox 13, 10:30, Ira Kaufman joining Scott Smith's Tailgate Sunday, Fox 13.
Kaufman's Corner.
So, Ira, awesome offers, as we heard, to open the podcast, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Fantastic. Have to get over there.
These October sales are going to end at some point.
End of the month. Not at some point. At the end of the month. Halloween, November, we roll into something different. So check out all the offers. They do change. You got Cadillac offers. You have specific pre-owned offers to the dealerships. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. I just can't freak out. To me, it's one game. And I get the magnitude of it. But like some of the practice stuff, I remember it's a great point about those Cutter coming out saying there were a lot of bad practices in training camp. During training camp, toward the end, I asked Cameron Brate, saying, I just said to him, hey, coach keeps saying there were bad practices. Is this a function of standards being raised, or are you guys just falling off the wagon? He's like, oh, no, standards are way higher in practice this year.
Which I like.
So you called for a tougher training camp. Maybe that was an element of it, you know, just him raising the bar and wanting his team to hear, you guys suck today kind of thing. I don't know.
Steve, you can say we're overreacting to one game.
Well, we don't know yet.
But if they lose a Buffalo, now you got a problem.
None of it's an overreaction.
Now you got a problem.
I can tell you that, you know, we all have our sources in this building. And I had heard through the grapevine that there were two losses in the last year of Lovie Smith where Team Glazer couldn't even speak to their employees. They were so beside themselves. One was the Tennessee Ready game. The other was the Capitol collapse. the people who pull the strings in this building don't forget those kind of games. I think you know that. You know the Glazers as well as anybody. I reckon you speak to that.
Well, there's some other memorable losses. The debacle in Atlanta on national television.
Ooh. Sure.
And the home game against the Ravens.
And by the way, what offensive coordinator did that? Mr. Dirk Cutter.
Mr. Dirk Cutter. Well, to Lee's point. Some losses. Well,
the debacle in Atlanta. We talked about the Thursday night game.
Lovey's first year.
Cutter against the Bucs.
Look, Lee's right. Some losses hurt worse than others.
Oh, yeah.
They were embarrassed. The Glazers were embarrassed on Sunday.
This is an ugly, ugly mark in the cone of silence here at One Buck where we are. where they moved our spot, Ira. We don't have window access anymore to peek out of practice. But, yeah, that game is definitely on a wall somewhere of shame.
But it's not going to feel that bad if they rebound with a win.
Absolutely. It's still just a loss right now. But it's there. It's hanging out there like a plague, like a virus that nobody caught yet. It's out there. But let me read two quotes to you, Ira. Two quotes to you.
Like a marble rye hanging out there on a tree.
What's the Sword of Dangocles?
excuse me. Where do they hang marble ryes on trees?
On a Seinfeld episode.
Is that Flatbush?
You got to get up on your Seinfeld, my friend.
All right, Ira. Levante David is on Buccaneers Radio Network this week.
Is there a show you two guys don't monitor?
No.
If some guy's talking in Dubuque, Iowa about the Bucs, do you get a Google alert on that?
No, but we'll find out and we'll document it.
It's unbelievable, yeah, Steve.
It's not unbelievable, Ira. It's unbelievable that the other outlets don't care. That's what it's unbelievable. A player talks and they ignore it. Does that make
Cutter
sense?
Cutter talks on Friday night. And you guys are there.
Come on, Ira. We don't care where a guy talks. If he talks, he talks. All right, now listen. Levante David was asked about fixing these issues and the intensity leading up to games and whatnot and getting good starts. And David says this. He says, I think it all starts, you know, at practice with practice habits. I think it starts with practice habits leading up to the week. You know, there's been some periods where you're not going as hard, and the next period you're going hard, just drop-offs and things like that. He says we made an emphasis in the locker room. We got to have a better sense of urgency. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, he's saying that there have been some issues in practice, inconsistent effort in practice. And that's a killer, Ira. And I want to get your opinion because fans have to realize this team practices in pads once a week during the season. Thursday is underwear football. Friday is a walkthrough. What's going on?
Here's what I think is going on, Lee. Cutter has tried the nice guy approach. He's tried it. He's given them days off out the wazoo. Fans don't even understand. 5 days off, 3 days off. What's going on here? He's trying to cut him some slack, get some guys healed up.
Yes.
In his mind, he's doing the right thing. It's not working.
Right now, it's not.
So I suggest if they go out and don't play well in Buffalo, or even if they do and lose, things are going to change around here. And guess who's going to be nodding up and down in approval if things do get a lot tougher around here? The guys who signed the checks. Mm-hmm. Because when you're 2-4, they'll say, you got a country club out here, and you better stop it. And that message is going to come across loud and clear.
Well, I think, and I don't dispute what you're saying
at all.
And
I'm not talking about the ping pong tables. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about
that. Well, that is kind of interesting.
I'm talking about tough practices. Mm-hmm. Rough practice.
Well, I will say this, and I don't discount one thing you're saying.
I discount plenty, but go ahead, Lee.
He's writing things down, DeCamper.
Well, I don't see a pen in his hand, but that's his style.
That's his MO, yeah.
Yeah, I saved all the Hard Knocks episodes on my DVR, and I went back to the first episode. The very first scene of the very first episode, Dirk Cutter is speaking to the players the day they arrived at training camp, check-in day, and he said, quote unquote, we have, quote unquote, a ton of talent, more than the Bucs have had in years. Fast forward 3 months, which was Monday, we've got a bad team. In 3 months, he's bragging about how much talent he has. And in 3 months, it went from, we have all this talent, to, we've got a bad team.
We've got a bad team, Lee. In his mind means we put bad film out this year.
Don't you think, in your words, the guys who signed the checks here are listening to those words, like, how'd that happen?
Well, I think, Steve, that's a debate that's raging among the brothers Glazer. And it will continue and get even more heated if they don't win Sunday. And here's what the debate centers
on.
Well,
if they don't win Sunday.
Are we not good enough? Do we not have enough skilled players? Of course, Jason Light wants to hear, you know, yes, that debate. Or are they not being coached up to their potential and Cutter and his staff want to hear that debate. That's a tough one, Steve. Right now, I'm not sure which side of the fence I'm on.
I got you.
And you, as usual, are straddling the fence.
And it's great.
As usual.
Well, you don't know what side you're on, and you're straddling. What's the difference? All right. Now, you just said, Ira, it just came out of your mouth, okay? People just drove off the highway listening on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, where you're now ranked.
Some guy in Paraguay just drove off the drove off Route 42? Where Collier Ciudad? All right, go ahead.
Google Play, actually, you've fallen to 35th in the nation.
I'm not happy about
in the
that.
Top charts.
I aim high.
That's unacceptable. Unacceptable, Kyle.
All right, continue, Steve.
You just told everybody that if the Bucks lose this week in Buffalo, then Cutter's going to have to start cracking the whip and straightening, kicking some ass around here. If it didn't happen already after that gem in Arizona, then there's a huge problem. If it didn't happen already.
But you said it was only one game.
It is one game, but the coach has to treat it like what the hell was that? We're tightening the ship here. I don't know what you guys think. I think it had to have happened already. You can't wait to lose to Buffalo after
you would hope so.
Clobbered like that.
You would hope so. Yeah. I mean, Cutter, after the game Sunday, Cutter was like, you know, my gosh, I can't remember last time. NFL, to his credit, it was NFL coach was that candid, basically saying how horrible they played. And
my first question for Ali Marpet today. I walked over to him while 100 other reporters were talking to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who may or may not play on
Sunday.
Did
Donovan Smith have his music cranked up that you couldn't hear?
Well, he did have his music cranked. He was told to crank it down. And
twice,
and
he complained.
He didn't like it. He didn't like that directive from the Bucs staff. He was giving him a little Robert Ayers glare over there.
He's starting to turn into chairless.
So, anyway, I went up to Marpet, and he looks up at me. He goes, all right, what do you want? What do you need? And I said, Ali, is it fair to say that pride's going to be a big factor in Sunday's matchup? He said, how could it not be? How could it not be after what we put out there on Sunday? He was shocked. When I told him, when I reminded him that Buffalo's strength is on defense, and they're very physical, his eyes lit up, Marpet.
Really?
So, you know, he goes, I like physical play. Now, having said that, he was part of the manhandled group on Sunday.
The whole thing.
I'll say it again, just to throw it out there, Steve, just to drive you crazy. Can somebody block Chandler Jones? How many times am I going
to
say it?
Like Lawrence Taylor out there or something. I got to ask you something. And I posed this to Steve, you know, just between us two talking a couple days ago. And Steve kind of dismissed it. But Cutter postgame, I don't ever remember him being that, like someone told him his dog was just run over. I've never seen him that, just like stunned. He was almost stunned. Like, what the hell did I just see? I never saw him that downtrodden. Crestfallen is the word.
Crestfallen, subdued, absolutely.
Now, Steve said there was a couple times
how could he not be, Steve, after that?
Sure, well, perhaps his dog was run over. It is possible. We don't know.
can we talk about quarterbacks for a minute, Steve?
He was shell-shocked.
Can we get to the quarterback situation?
I will get there. I don't know. I don't know if we can get there yet. You know, we don't know.
This is too good.
I mean, it's an unknown.
Cutter was shell-shocked, situation. Shell-shocked.
But we're going to get to the quarterback, Ira. Let me throw this one at you, also from Levante David said.
Again, you're going into the David well.
He gave ammunition.
Here?
If these things weren't interesting, then we wouldn't go there, Ira.
Who's this guy, Horatio Alger? We're going to quote him all season long?
Levante David talked about how good he felt in that game. He said, I was expecting to fall off and get tired. I was expecting to, you know, a few weeks off, I was expecting to not be in 100% football shape as the game went on. But Levante David said, I felt amazing. And he added, I felt I could have done a lot more, but I had to play within the scheme of the defense. Now, what is that?
What does that mean? That is the same conversation we've had with Levante David since the days of Bill Sheridan. Who's not noted as a defensive, genius.
Wizard, yeah.
This is not Bill Arnsbogger over here we're talking about, or Wade Phillips. But you know what? Levante David flourished in that I think it was the first year on the show.
Even the second year.
He was everywhere. Steve, he's all over the stat sheet. And we've seen glimpses of Levante David as an effective blitzer down the stretch last year in the second half of the season. You would have thought that would impress on the mind of a Mike Smith. Now, this week, I don't think it's going to come into play because I don't think Tyrod Taylor's a guy that you want to blitz. He's a guy you want to drop into coverage.
Contain.
Mm-hmm. So not this week in particular.
Now, Ira, for the people that are under 50, and I know who you're referencing, Explain who Bill Arnsberger was.
If assistant coaches were going into the hall, which there is not none, which is a mistake.
Yes.
That's a glaring omission. Arnsberger would be a top-notch candidate. Mm-hmm. I believe he was Don Shula's defensive coordinator in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins went perfect in 72. The next year, they went 14-2 and steamrolled people in the postseason. It was Arnsberger's defense. Brilliant tactician. And if you work for Don Shula and he trusts you on one side of the ball, you're getting the job done. All right.
And was he not head coach of the Giants pre?
Yes, he was head coach of the Giants. Yeah, and unsuccessful.
Pre-Perkins, right? Wasn't Perkins his successor?
He was pre-Perkins, but just like Wade Phillips, you can be an outstanding assistant,
mm-hmm.
and when you get the head job, you're not effective.
There's a bunch of guys like that.
It happens all over the
sure.
place. But he was coach of the Giants.
All right, Sage.
Steve, what do you got on the docket, my friend?
A couple of things real quick for the people who might have fast-forwarded early in the podcast or were too busy chewing crunchy foods and didn't hear. You will be Sunday at Abe's Place in Clearwater. Details on joebucksfan.com. Rock Riley will be out there as well. Rock will be out there. I'll be out there for a stretch. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Great food at Abe's. Great audio. Indoor seating. Outdoor seating. Excellent options, bar, big tables.
We're showing up. Is your football team showing up?
Ira's going to have
that's the question.
A VIP table. It's going to be fun. Fun times. Fun times. And Ira gets.
Did you pre-order a beet salad for me? What's going on there?
No word yet on the beet salad. Right. That'll be a game day decision.
Game day decision.
Now, Ira, speaking of game day decision, we'll go to the quarterback since you want to talk about him.
And then we have to. We absolutely have to.
So, look, here's the deal. We know for a fact, we're told that Winston he's healthy.
He's going to be on the injury report, my friend.
We're told that he's healthy, that he's not going to hurt himself by playing. He's cleared to play, but they got to see him throw. Does he have the arm strength, the velocity?
And he's not going to practice.
Well, we'll see. Well, again, as like Lee said with Kwan, we'll believe it when we see it. We'll see what happens. But whether it's Jameis or it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, how does that change your evaluation of what's going on here in this game, what the Bucs should do and shouldn't do, and how it might even change the game plan?
Well, I'm on record, Lee, as saying the Bucs should pound the rock much more than they have. Of course, a lot depends on whether the defense shows up. I can't blame Cutter's play calling in the second half of the Minnesota and Arizona games when you're down by three touchdowns. I understand that.
Where the heck is that in the first quarter, by the way?
I understand that. I'm looking for a lot of Doug Martin on Sunday. A lot. Now, look, Buffalo's got a good defense. They're +8 in turnovers. You start to throw the ball into tight windows, you're asking for trouble. They get their hands on a lot of balls. And the word out of the Buck coaching staff is 50-50 balls, they're outstanding at coming up with them. Now, that's Mike Evans' specialty, the 50-50 ball. And by the way, I want Mike Evans to step up on Sunday. I'm calling him out, too. I didn't like his body language on Sunday with Patrick Peterson. I don't think he liked Peterson's aggressiveness. All the Arizona DBs were ultra aggressive against the Buck receivers, and I think it really bothered them.
Well, wasn't I Evans acting up when Xavier Rhodes locked him up?
A little bit.
Yeah, there's a little pattern going on there.
So, get to the question.
All right, here's my question. Here's my answer.
The difference.
I have to see Jameis Winston drive the ball downfield with oomph. Spell that one, DeKemper.
UMPH.
Accuracy and velocity.
I can't spell it accurately.
If not, I'm not playing him. I'm not playing him. If he's hampered, I'm not playing him.
Because he's the franchise.
Fitzpatrick threw a good deep ball last week. Now, look, all things being equal, I'd rather have Jameis Winston in there. I'm not calling for Jameis Winston to be benched. That's crazy.
And whoever
says that is nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
They need to be institutionalized.
If he's hampered, if he's 75%, I'm not playing him.
Yeah.
That's my answer. And I want to see him throw before I make my decision. I'm not letting him go all week without throwing the ball, and then I'm coming up to Winston. Hey, Jameis, how do you feel? You think you can go? This decision is not by Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
he's a go.
We all know what Jameis would say to that question. Yeah, I can go. You know how Jameis is.
I don't even give him a vote among the trainer, the coach. He don't get a vote. He doesn't get a vote.
All right, I got you, Sage. I got you.
Passionate commentary from Ira Call.
He already said Sunday he doesn't think he's going to miss a game. You know, that's his mindset.
Well, of course, that's his mindset.
And I like that about him.
Yeah, and also, it's a pride thing because he's never missed a start because of an injury.
Well, now let me go here. Last year, Dirk Cutter made it very clear in the games that we all, I think any thinking person, watched certain games last year, Arizona included, and said, the game's out of hand. James is going to get hurt, needs to get out of the game. And Cutter left him in, saying, hey, captain goes down with his ship. I'm not taking Jameis out, and Jameis isn't going to come out, and blah, blah, blah. So now here we have Jameis, who, if the doctors say he can play, it's a velocity issue, whatever, he's just got to play through the soreness and pain. We know the guy's a high adrenaline guy. You know, he's probably going to play a little differently on game day than he would throwing in practice. If Jameis wants to go and the doctors say he's ready, do you really think they're going to sit him?
I got to be convinced that he can make all the throws, Lee. If he can make all the throws, get him out there.
Well, that will be displayed on the field in pregame warmups, will it not?
That it could go down to that.
That's what I'm thinking.
It really could go down to that.
Now, who's the emergency quarterback, by the way? I don't know that. Maybe we need to ask Cutter.
It could be a little Patrick
Clark. Is Humphreys?
Yeah, I think one of the tells, and something could change, but I think one of the tells, the fact the Bucs have yet to bring in a new quarterback, unless I missed something, they haven't brought in a third quarterback, and Ryan Griffin isn't able to be activated yet. He could be brought back on that IR return.
So that leads you to believe that they'll have two healthy quarterbacks.
Yeah, that they'll have two healthy quarterbacks because, I mean, you wouldn't go into a game with one quarterback. That would just be stupid.
All right.
So, maybe they're feeling Winston could be an emergency backup only. You know, and of course, if he can't make all the throws, maybe he can still make 65% of the throws, which isn't so bad.
Now you're tailoring your game plan. Do you really want to do that? You know, you're cutting down on your options. Let's end on a good note. Let's end on a positive note.
Who's ending, Ira? What are you talking about? We're paying you for more time.
Lee, along the lines of Isbett saying it's one game, a terrible game, but one game.
No, I think it's a crossroads game.
Lee? No, I mean last week.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
One of the questions I asked in the locker room, Luke Stock or some of the veterans, what's the difference between 2-4 and 3-3? The word in response is enormous. Enormous difference.
Really?
Enormous. Look, last year we saw 3-5. A five-game winning streak didn't even get them in the playoffs. Wasn't good enough. Now, it did put them in charge of their playoff destiny at 8-5, and they didn't handle it. But it shows an early hole is difficult to overcome. If you're 2-4 and you've lost four out of your last five games and now you're ready to start division play with Carolina, that's an uneasy feeling for
sure
Buck fans.
Sure is.
If you're 3-3 and Atlanta and Carolina have lost at least twice, if not more, by that point, they both have two losses as we speak, and we don't know that they're going to win this weekend. You're not out of this thing. You're right there. And here comes Carolina into your home stadium. Mm-hmm. It's all different. So pride on the line in Buffalo. This going to be an easy game?
No.
No, but it's a game that if they stay even in the turnover differential or maybe even win it, the Bucs should win the game.
Well, to your point about the near future, and forgive me for being positive here, your colleague, your trusted colleague, the scone-loathing Peter King, was on Russo's show yesterday. Chris Mad Dog Russo.
My Chris Russo colleague, yes.
And he's saying the Falcons are showing that they're missing Kyle Shanahan.
Well, Kyle Shanahan is not responsible for a fourth-quarter defensive collapse at home against the Miami Dolphins. Now, I said it before the season started, and I said it on Russo. They're going to miss Kyle Shanahan. You know, Steve Sarkisian is not Kyle Shanahan. And Ryan's not having an MVP season, although he's not playing bad, Matt Ryan. The defense didn't show up in the fourth quarter. That's alarming, especially to Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
He must have been disgusted.
Defensive guy,
I'm not even sure he could have spoke after that game. He must have been so mad. But they'll get Vic Beasley back, and he's their most impactful defensive player.
Do you watch the end of that game, Ira? Did you watch the fourth quarter?
On and off.
I mean, Cutler played pretty well. I mean, they got some receivers. Cutler. He can still make a few throws.
Yeah,
the look on Ira's face. The look on your face. The look of astonishment on your face.
I mean, Atlanta was in complete control of that game.
I mean, sometimes you just get beat.
The look on your face, Ira, was as if your wife told you Dante had an accident on the living room rug.
Is there anything you won't excuse, Isbits? Is there anything you won't excuse?
No, I'm just saying it's not.
Sexual peccadilloes and anything? Harvey Weinstein, you want to come to his defense?
Harvey Weinstein
glass. What's going on with you? Everything is excusable?
I'm just saying not everything is a defensive failure, right? If Jameis looks good, if Jameis looks good, we're not always blaming the defense, right? You got to lean both ways. That's
perhaps insane. You want to say something in favor of Rick Pitino at this point.
Dropping a wine.
I got the Kemper going on.
Dropping
here,
a guys. Weinstein reference.
All right, how are we gonna go out on this?
What's next, ASJ? Look, so Buffalo allows least amount of points in the league per game. So, I mean, a super tight defense. They got no wide receivers, as you said. Their leading receiver is their running back, followed by their tight end.
They got a good offensive line.
This should help the Bucs defense immensely because you just don't have that deep threat. So, I mean, goodness, they don't really have a number one wide receiver. So Hargraves will be on whoever that guy is. That should really take a lot of pressure off of Hargraves, you would think. I mean,
Can T.J. Ward step up and be a factor in as an eighth guy in the box?
You would hope.
You know, Steve?
It'll be interesting. All right, Ira, let me ask you this about the game, since, you know, fans are now focused on Sunday.
Oh, we got to make our picks, too.
Yeah, we got a little time.
Look at this. We got a little time. Unbelievable. I got to go on tailgate Sunday.
What time you got to be on tailgate Sunday?
He's in such a rush.
It's only
2:15.
It's 2:15.
Keep
right? going. You got to what, 3:30?
Keep going.
You got to put makeup on for 65 minutes or something.
Have you seen me on camera? I need a lot of rouge.
Makeup.
You look like you were well tanned.
Always.
Yeah, how did you find your beach
chair? Right off the tennis court.
Did the St. Pete Beach Police round up your beach chair?
You got 14 of our readers want to play me in tennis. Stop building me up on a tennis court.
I haven't said a word. You're the only one who talked.
Well, you beat Isbits, didn't you?
Well, that doesn't count. Continue, Steve.
You're the only one who talks about your tennis game, although I really think we do need to have a tournament, a round robin. The winner of the tournament gets to play you. I think that would be fantastic. But anyway.
Is Jenna Lane going to be in the tournament?
Miko.
I like the lob. Yeah, Miko.
You're treading in dangerous territory.
Keep going.
All right. You're throwing me off here. Throwing me off stage.
Well, we do have to make our picks.
Of course. Do you think, Lee, you as well, given the gravity of this game, I don't dispute anything about the massive gulf between 3-3 and 2-4, especially after last week. I mean, it would be massive, massive. And as Gerald McCoy said today in the locker room, you were there, Ira, he talked about you win.
That was my question, wasn't
it,
Isbits?
He said, you win Sunday, it stops the road rage.
Starbucks.
People calm down at Starbucks. It basically, everything's good. It's either or. It's the sky is falling or you win this game and everything's good. Now, my question to you, Ira Lee, as well, do you think Cutter goes out of the box in this game? Maybe we see a little trickery. Maybe we actually see Pat Murray come out for a field goal, period, which he was hiding him last week. Do you think Cutter takes this with a little extra urgency this game, maybe an all-or-nothing mentality?
Wow. It depends who's quarterback. And even then, I don't know, because Jameis won't be 100%, 90% maybe. Jeez. That's a good question, because there needs to be urgency, but do you trust your quarterbacks? Do you trust Fitzpatrick against this defense? Do you trust a less than 100% Jameis against this defense? I tell you what Cutter really needs to do, and apparently Fitzpatrick showed he could somewhat handle it, although I have to qualify it. Fitzpatrick was going up against a prevent defense. So, I can't go bananas over what Fitzpatrick did. Here's what I want to see. First quarter, pretend with urgency. Pretend like, you're down 3 touchdowns. Let's go up-tempo a little bit. Already, your franchise quarterback has shown he can shine in that type of offense.
Don't wait.
What are you waiting on? If, I think I said this in a podcast before. If Jameis plays well, if up-tempo offense, a quick-strike offense, maybe I might want to use that offense a little bit more.
I think this is going to be a tight, low-scoring game, Steve. It would surprise me if this is going to be in the 30s.
No, of course not. Is Cutter going to take risks? So you think he goes that extra step?
No. I think that plays into Buffalo's strength, which is very few giveaways from a Bills perspective and a lot of takeaways. That's what they thrive on. They've only got 2 giveaways,
mm-hmm.
and they got 10 takeaways. And they've only played 5. You can't give them 2 or 3 picks. They thrive on those short fields, a defensive touchdown. That's how Buffalo is 3-2. They're not 3-2 because they got a dynamic offense.
I dare say if the Bucs lose this game, the season's going to spiral.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard the Kemper say that.
Well, it'll be hard to argue against it if they lose. They haven't lost yet, but it's hard to hard to argue against it. I mean, look, if you can't win these 2 games, who's next?
Well,
Carolina and the Saints.
We've heard and read the vitriol from the fans and the readers and the listeners.
And Peter King
after the Arizona game. Now, if you follow that up with another loss against a mediocre Buffalo team, that's an 8 or 9.
Torches play. Will be lit.
It's gonna be tough to defend.
It's a dividing line because fans believed, past tense, many still believe. We had our Joe Bucks fan poll, 2/3 still have a lot of confidence in Cutter. Fans, either confident, very confident, or totally confident. 2 out of 3 voted there. They believed or believe this is a playoff team. Now, if you go 2-4, all of a sudden, that belief is out the window. It becomes grinded out to 500, and maybe we can be respectable, and maybe we need a miracle.
Top
and all
12 draft pick.
So it's a divide, a huge dividing line. 3-3, I agree with McCoy. Everything's fine. If you really consider the big picture, especially if they win with Fitzpatrick up there against a solid football team, I think
it scares me a little that they haven't shown up on the road. Last year, they were a pretty good road team.
Yep.
Last year.
Got to show up.
This year, 0-2 by itself, 0-2, not hot. Doesn't scare me. It's the way they play.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the way they play.
All right. Now, drum roll, Ira. Drum roll. You know, before we get to your predictions, Javier, who we've mentioned in Panama, our great listener out there, big fan of JoeBucksFan.com. And, you know, of course, he's no better than any other fan, but it's fun because he's from Panama. And we all know that when he goes to the local gas and sip, you know, he's not running into Bucks fans, and it's just not a place for Bucks fans, you know? So Javier emailed audio message for you, Ira, and we'll just play it for everybody right now.
Hello, Don Ira. It's your loyal listener and reader, Javier from Panama City, Panama. Some people might call you Irv, others might call you Ira Fulton, but I prefer to call you Don Ira as a sign of respect. You've been covering the NFL for many years, and you are probably on speed dial with the creme de la creme of this league. At this point, Don Ira, I've lost all hope in finding your missing beat shares shows, so you might want to ask the good people at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon to get a new pair for you. First you get the polos, then you get the chairs, then you get the car. All kidding aside, Don Ira, I really appreciate the way you cover this team and all your sage wisdom. Please keep it up. The quality is great, it's fun, it's entertaining, it's enlightening. And trust me, your podcast is world-renowned. And hopefully, next year when I'm back, we can share some stories with a nice bottle of Riesling and some beet salad.
All right, what'd you think of that, Ira? That tribute to you.
You know, the man calls me Don Ira. You know, that's a better greeting than I get from Dante and my wife at times. So I got to respect the man. I did meet him on draft night. We had a heck of a night that night. That's when I told everybody that if O.J. Howard was there, they were going to take him. And sure enough, you know, when they took him, everybody came up to me and said, "You're the sage. You're the man." but Steve and I had it.
This is like a fish tale, fish story.
But Javier's one of our favorites. You know,
he has your back.
He's loyal. He's got your back.
Yeah, I mean, he helped you on a grammar, a Spanish grammar.
Yes, he did. And I spelled cojones wrong. And that's bad cojones on my part.
Yeah,
I used it 2 weeks ago and I spelled it right.
Well, apparently the lesson that Javier gave, I know you're grateful for Javier looking out for you. You spelled cojones C-A-J-O-N-E-S.
Yeah, I did.
And apparently that means briefs.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about briefs.
Yeah, well, you know, as the guy loading up your column and reading it, editing it, yeah, I thought you were talking about briefs. No, I'm just kidding. I had no idea. I just, it looked good to me, you know.
He's a great listener and a big supporter of Joe Bucks fan. Wish we had more like him.
And I hope
we see him later in the year.
Don't worry, you're like Nixon. It's the silent majority out there that love
him. There is a rumor that, you know, you two guys are going to get together and pay for one of his flights to come into a Buck home game this year. Put him up at Motel 6 on Dale Mabry.
Let's not get crazy. But we are working on building our Central American presence, and hopefully it will triple by the end of the year. That's our goal.
Any chance he could come into Atlanta? For that little shindig the night before.
It's called Twitter, Ira. Send him a direct message. Okay, that's it. All right, let's get to the game here. We got predictions. This is our tradition here, and actually Javier himself has been keeping track of these for us via a spreadsheet.
What's the standings right now?
The standings is I forgot. I don't know.
All right, now you always go. How about going first?
Well,
today?
We all picked Arizona.
How about going first?
No, we all picked the Bucks in Arizona.
That's right.
We all took it on the chin there. Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to win this game 17-14. For the simple reason is that I can't wrap my head around the fact that our analysis and our assessment of the team was that far off. I just don't think the coaches are that bad, because if they go 2-4, then yeah, the coaches are probably not where they need to be, especially in this division. And I just think the talent is there on offense. There's enough there and enough playmakers on defense where this team has got to beat a team like Buffalo that just isn't very special. A team that's going maybe 8-8 And I think they'll bounce back. I think I don't think Cutter's lost the team. I think that they'll bounce back.
Late.
24-13 Buffalo.
Bills.
I think this game plays right in the Buffalo's hand, whoever it is. If Jameis starts, he's going to force things. Here come the picks. Fitzpatrick, picks. If Fitzpatrick plays, if they could run Doug Martin still hasn't impressed me. I'm sorry. I just think this is absolute trap, no matter what way you cut it. After that game last Sunday in Arizona, I have no faith in this team at this point. It could change, but they got to prove something to me. And I'm very down right now. I really am. I'm down. Arrow's pointing down, as the Glazers would say. Arrow is pointing down in my eyes right now. When I say right now, I'm talking about November or October 18th, 24-13 Buffalo.
You know, I've been listening to DeKemper. I'm looking at him like he's F. Lee Bailey. He made a very compelling case. I'm ready to say OJ didn't do it, and I'm switching my pick. I'm going with the Bills.
Going with the Bills. Okay.
20-16. Murray will kick 3 field goals, 1 and 1 touchdown for the Bucks. I don't think this is a great matchup, and I'll tell you why. Physicality. That's the Bills' trademark. Physical on both sides of the ball. 330-pound offensive lineman. Darius up front with the good front 7 and an active secondary. I don't like this matchup suddenly for the Bucks. And to Lee's point, I'm not going to have any faith until I see that they can bounce back.
Yes.
I still haven't gotten over last week. Oh. 9 days to prepare against a team that kicked your ass the year before.
Nine days.
I'm still not over that, Steve. I'm going with the Bills.
I got to say something real quick that I think all of us have passed on. Bills are coached by Mr. McDermott, who was a finalist for the Bucks job.
Prove me wrong, Bucks.
Did you put a score on that? I know Lee said 24-16.
I said 20-16.
20-16. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, you talked about the Murray field goal explosion.
Murray could be the highlight of the game.
Well,
prove me wrong.
That's why they
pay us the big bucks to analyze these games. And you know, just on a personal note, we're all fans now. You can admit that you're a Bucks fan, Ira. Now you're not shackled by corporate America.
Well, I mean, it helps.
You're still a Chiefs fan.
It helps everything if they win, right?
Helps. If the New York Times editor can admit that they're slanting news, you can admit it's beneficial for you if the Bucks win.
But I think our readers and listeners will say that I'm no homer.
No,
I'm no homer.
No, you're objective.
No, of course not. Of course not. But I'm just saying, if you. You know, when the day comes when you retire in 25 years, you know, you'll be a Bucks fan. You're watching on TV, you know, watching.
You can rest comfortably that your ethics have not been challenged.
And Brent Grimes will still be at left cornerback in 25 years.
Well, now there's one for you.
How about after you've put Gerald McCoy in the Hall of Fame? Now people just drove off the road.
Now they are off the road.
Well, I'll give people the reason to drive off the road. And I hope they drive off the road to Hooters or Abe's or any of our proud people. Yes. What do the Bucks do at cornerback next year if Hargraves gets benched? Grimes, there's no guarantee Grimes comes back.
I'm giving Grimes whatever he wants. And then I'm drafting a cornerback. That's what I'm doing.
Well, you can't draft everybody every year. It's
I didn't say you draft them in the first round.
They have really, 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 forget about all the ways they pigeonholed themselves. I think the biggest area, and this is, you know, what we have an offseason for, but I think the biggest area is defensive line. They went into this year with a very old defensive line, one of the oldest in the league, really, across the board. I mean, McCoy, you got to think about McCoy's replacement.
He's not going to be around that much longer.
Not going to be around forever. McDonald's in his 30s. Chris Baker is already 30. I mean, he's not a full long timer here, you know.
And there's no young guy up
so
behind
you
him.
There's no youth behind None. Him. You got nothing on the edge, really, that's showing you anything that would give you a lot of
Ayers
faith.
Ayers is old.
Ayers isn't coming back at top dollar. He's 32 right now. So they've really pigeonholed themselves on the D-line because I think everybody and their brother knows it starts in the trenches, period. And I don't see how they can go running out drafting another corner early when they got all these other holes. And you still need a franchise running back. It's an issue. But we'll see. Hopefully some miracles happen. And, of course, Ira, you know, next week's going to be interesting on the podcast. And if you haven't subscribed on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, you're out of your mind. But next week, if the Bucks lose or if the Bucks win, either way it goes, I think we have some really good discussion to talk about the trade deadline coming up November 1st, because the Bucks could be players in either direction. And I think Mr. Light in the executive offices upstairs here, he's got to do something. You know, he's got to look, when you're in the last year of your contract as a GM and the trade deadline's there, that's sort of your last chance to do something
make an impact
that makes you look good. That's your last shot to either
possibly
Well, yeah, aside from winning. I mean, yeah. Or somebody falls off the street.
Big mid-season trades are the rarity.
Rarity, but they
rarity
do happen.
They do happen.
Or unless he does what Lee suggests, which is, you know, drive in a Brinks truck to DeMarcus Ware's house and get the job done.
Can I use one of my favorite one-liners I've written in weeks? What are you going to do, Mr. Light? You going to go out and make something happen? Or are you going to sit back and hope something happens the way Leonard hoped he could score with Penny when she moved into the apartment down the hallway?
Oh,
right, last one for
nice.
You. Last tiny one, quick one. We'll go out on this, Ira. Jaquise Smith, now a member of the Detroit Lions, alongside George Johnson.
And sackless George Johnson.
And Akeem Spence, all together.
Oh,
the band
goodness.
Of brothers on a playoff team that wanted all these three guys, which is kind of interesting.
Think about that.
What happens if Jack Smith goes out and racks up more sacks than any Bucks defensive end this year?
What happens?
Yeah.
It'll be a giant exclamation mark for the Glazers, a giant one. I don't know if they're going to blame the coaches. I don't know if they're going to blame Jason Light. They're going to say, he couldn't have helped us? And I'd be the same way. He couldn't have helped us?
Well, I think, did I say this on the previous podcast about Lamar Houston? Yes, I did.
Most old Bucks just fade into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. We know that. Well, we never hear from them again, with Austin Ferry and Jenkins notwithstanding.
There's the element of intrigue we haven't touched upon here with those. All three defensive linemen went from the Bucks to the Lions. What's the connection between Light and the Lions? Do you guys know? I know.
The GM.
Yes. He was Robert Quinn was Light's colleague
with
the Patriots.
Yes, that is right.
So
that is right.
Interesting intrigue there.
I hear the Lions are showing interest in Will Clark. We'll end on that note.
All right, get out of here, Ira.